Another sad day for Muppet fans. Puppeteer John Henson, son of Muppets creator Jim Henson, died suddenly in upstate New York at the age of 48.
Cheryl Henson says her brother died of a massive heart attack at his home in Saugerties. It happened after he'd been building an igloo in the snow with his daughter. She says her brother John Henson was an artist who also loved working the land. He performed as Sweetums the Ogre in several films, including Muppet Treasure Island, and It's a Very Merry Muppet Christmas Movie. Henson leaves behind a wife and two daughters, aged 10 and 15. A private funeral service is planned. Julie Walker, New York.
The U.S. men's hockey team is in the quarterfinals at Sochi. Phil Kessel had a hat trick for the club, the first three-goal game for an American player in more than 10 years, as the team beat Slovenia 5-1. The Slovenians prevented the shutout by scoring with just 17 seconds left in the game. I'm Tim McGuire, AP Radio News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with Dave and Nikki Nellis. I do want to clarify one thing.
You clarify it every show, and nobody cares.
Nikki really is my wife. We've been married almost 20 years. A lot of people think you're my gumar, you know, my girl on the side, but no, you're really my wife, and this is really a husband and wife show.
What is a gumar?
That's a mafia chieftain's girl on the side.
Oh, I think I'd rather be a girl on the side. It sounds like more fun.
Sounds more exciting. I can work that out.
Okay, good.
So we got a jam-packed show
today. Well, I don't
have
to be your girl on the side. I can just be somebody's
girl on the
side.
Make sure it's somebody with money.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
All right, so unless you've been living under a rock, you know that Stephen Starr's Le Diplomat is killing it down on 14th Street.
No S.
Stephen Starr's Le Diplomat.
Okay.
It's possessive.
Okay.
I wouldn't get into English and grammar if I were you, since you can barely speak.
Okay.
Nah. Well, there goes that marriage. Will Washington's the GM there. Larry Kilborn is the unbelievably talented head baker. They're in to talk with us today. And a guy who didn't remember me, but I've known actually about 25, 30 years. Ipa von Hengst is the executive chef and co-founder of the fabulous Silver Diner. And Silver Diner is going through some interesting menu changes and kind of perspective changes.
It's growing.
And it's all about healthy eating, not just for grown-ups, but for kids as well. And we're going to be talking to him as well.
Mm-hmm. And Texas Independence Day is coming up March 2nd. We got Jim Foss back in studio from Hill Country Barbecue. He's going to tell us about all their celebrations.
And Eunice Mazloum and Chef Mazir Farivar are in talking about the upcoming annual St. Jude's Gala,
which is sold out.
So
amazing.
Tough luck.
Yes, tough luck.
You can
luck.
Hear about it.
but you can't go.
You ain't going there.
And also, like we do on every show, we have a fabulous drink segment. And Will Rentschler is here. He's with the Capella Hotel. And he is responsible for the operations at the Grill Room and the Rye Bar. And he's brought in a whole slew of libations this morning. Will, let's start with you.
We're going to start off tasting a Willett four-year rye.
Sounds like a terrible way to kick off a Sunday morning.
You know what? I'm going to back you up a minute because the Capella's a relatively new boutique hotel property in Georgetown, and it's fabulous. And rooms are about, what, $625 a night?
Yeah, starting around $600.
So I guess it better be fabulous. Right? Give us a little 411 on the hotel real quick before we get to the booze.
Well, we opened a little less than a year ago. We opened in March of last year. 49 rooms, beautiful, beautiful property. It used to be the American Trial Lawyers building, but it's on 31st Street between K and M. They have the Grill Room is the restaurant, and the Rye Bar is the great bar there, which we'll be tasting some cocktails from today. So,
well, right. Talk about the Rye Bar a little bit, because the setup in there is really beautiful. I mean, the bar itself.
Oh, wait a minute. Why a bar dedicated to rye, I guess,
okay.
Is the first question.
Why don't you answer his question
unless
first?
Unless it's W-R-Y, which means that's the conversation there.
No, it's a great... great spirit. I love it for cocktails. It's got nice spice flavor to it. But it's just really unique. Bourbon, very, very hot for a while. Rye's very hot now. So we carry any, you know, at any time between 14 and 20 ryes, kind of depending on what we can get our hands on. A couple that I brought in today are a little bit more rare.
Now, how is rye different from the other sort
brown
of
liquors.
Whiskeys? Yeah, the brown liquors.
For it to be a rye, it's got to have at least 51% rye grain on the mash bill. So like a bourbon needs to be at least 51% corn. So that percentage is what makes it a rye.
Okay. So what do you do pour for us? What are we trying here?
So this Willett 4-Year, they're a great bottler and distiller. So this has been in new American white oak barrels for at least 4 years. So the youngest rye in here is 4 years. It's still a blend. It's not a single barrel.
Mm-hmm.
So this is coming out at 110 proof, which is a little bit of burn you're getting on the back of your tongue right now.
Mm-hmm.
No, for a real man. Let's be honest.
So this is barrel 68 out of 198.
Now, so do a lot of people just drink it straight up?
A rye like this is definitely meant to be drunk straight up, if not just a drop of water, maybe to release some of those oils or just a single cube. I put one cube in mine over here just to kind of ease into the tasting.
But, make sure he doesn't go the wrong way up a one-way
right?
street.
Yeah.
Like you did when you were sober a couple of years.
I warmed up at the bar.
Yeah, apparently. All right. Well, while we're sipping that, let's talk about Le Diplomat. Let's talk to Will Washington and that.
Favorite topic.
You know, I mean, Stephen Starr is a household name in Philadelphia. Certainly the people in the food industry and people in the know knew about him. He came down here to 14th Street and...
Took a space that everybody wanted.
That used to be a florist, wasn't it?
No, it was a dry cleaner.
Oh, sorry. It wasn't a florist, it was a dry cleaner.
And a lot of people wanted that space, but it took an awful lot to clean it out, right?
Well, it took an awful lot. It's a historical building and it's mm-hmm. designated a historical building, so... there was a lot of work around in the build-out, but Stephen really came down and fell in love with the building. He has this kind of unique ability to see a project's end before it has even started.
Okay.
And so when he looked at that building, he was just looking for a place in D.C., and when he saw the building, he saw Le Diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else really understood the vision until he started putting it together, but here we are now.
Well, for those who haven't been able to get into Le Diplomat, can you give us an overview of what Le Diplomat is?
It sounds French.
It's so good.
I think of it as an idealized version of a French brasserie.
I agree.
It combines all the elements that you would see if you were to go to a dozen brasseries throughout France and Belgium. You would find little pieces and elements of everything that you see at Le Diplomat, but Stephen has really taken it to another level by combining all those elements into one location.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it really starts with that overwhelming impression when you walk in the front door, or it feels like you're being transformed back. And then hopefully the service continues that until you get into the actual menu. And we're very fortunate we have two executive chefs in there and an incredibly talented baking team we're going to talk about in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the menu a little. I was with Michelle Obama last night. And she wasn't there last night. No, I was with her somewhere else. I can't really say. And
she was there on Monday.
Right. I mean, what are people finding there? You say it's a little kind of the best element of this and that and the other. What sort of things?
It absolutely is. It's classic bistro and brasserie cuisine. We feel that there's really always room for that. We're not trying to reinvent a wheel. We're not trying to make anything that is cutting edge. We're trying to execute French classics to the best of our ability.
Real classic French brasseries in D.C. I mean, New York, it's a dime a dozen. I mean, there's one on every block. Not that they're all good. But this concept is just not prolific in D.C.
It's not as prolific as some other markets. I think there are very good bistros in the city and
We're fortunate to be in the competition.
We're
fortunate to be included in that group.
Mm-hmm.
We have maybe some more resources that other ones don't, which allow us to kind of exploit that. The menu's large. It really has something for everybody on it.
There are some big hitters on the menu. What are people going for?
Well, the steak frites. The steak frites outsells everything else put together. It's classic hanger steak with maitre d' butter and just crispy fries is basically what it is. But people certainly seem to like it. And yes, the seafood platters.
Very good.
They're definitely the eye appeal of the restaurant. You walk in and it's just like a giant pile of candy on the table. You can't help but see one and then you want one. And they're tasty.
And then there's the bread. Last time we were there, we went through three bread baskets before the food came because it was so good.
Right, so good.
Larry, it was so good.
The bread program is something that's very near and dear to Stephen's heart and has been in Philadelphia. And so when we opened the restaurant here, there was an amazing drive to try to find the best bakers that we could.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really scouring the country, and we were lucky enough to find Dr. Larry here, right here under our noses, and he has really taken the same bread program that we have in Philadelphia to an entirely different level.
Right.
Well, let's talk about that, Larry. Let's talk about how you came in and made this bread program your own.
Well, I had been head baker at another restaurant group here in D.C.
You can tell us.
Founding Farmers.
Okay.
I was there for about 2 years, mm-hmm. and it was a great experience. Bread was also a central concept to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call one day from a recruiter in Philadelphia who talked about a restaurant that was going to be opening here and asked if I was interested, and I said I might be.
Okay.
They invited me up to audition, what we call a stage,
mm-hmm.
where you try out, and basically asked me to bake 7 different breads in a day for a tasting that afternoon. And it went well, and a couple days later, a job was offered.
Okay, but now that you've got the job, how did you, I mean, we talked about this off air, that these are Stephen's recipes from the Park Restaurant up in Philadelphia. So how did you take these bread concepts? Because the bread program is fantastic. I mean, it's one of the highlights, I think, of the restaurant.
It's the reason the restaurant is rolling in dough. anyone? Thank you. That
so
joke never gets old.
How did you go about taking these recipes and making them yours?
Well, the most important thing was to assemble a team of bakers who mm-hmm. were really committed to artisan-type hearthbreads, which is what we produce.
Okay.
And I was very fortunate in finding 4 of them who mm-hmm. are young and enthusiastic. They're very skilled,
mm-hmm.
but they bring a real passion. So every day they come into work, they take our recipes and they try and create a loaf of bread. And everything is done by all our bread once it's out of a mixer. We have a mechanical mixer, a spiral mm-hmm. mixer. But once the bread comes out of that, everything is done by hand. So it's all handwork. Every one of these loaves is handcrafted.
Mm-hmm. And how many loaves are you making a day at this point?
We're making about, between the wheat rye mm-hmm. Sourdough and the cranberry walnut sourdough, about mm-hmm. 100 a day.
Okay.
And then we're averaging about 1,200 baguettes a week, so okay. about 165 a day.
All right. Now, is that what you were expecting when you opened up this restaurant?
They were expecting less.
I mean, I'm just curious.
They were expecting far less.
For people who don't know, what is a normal bread program for a restaurant? I mean, how much bread do they normally go through a day?
Well, I would say what we're doing is comparable to what I was doing at Founding Farmers, but we were feeding 2 restaurants
right.
as opposed to 1.
Okay.
So if that gives you some idea.
Mm-hmm. How many tons of flour do you use?
In a month, right now we're going through between 2¾ and 3 tons.
I mean, when you think about what a ton of something must look like.
Right.
It's a lot of flour.
It's a ton
now,
of flour.
Now, originally you were baking at the Le Diplomat site.
Correct.
But it just became too much?
So the response by the public to Le Diplomat was so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It was something we never expected.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
There was no space that we could fit. Well, if we had, we would have put more bakery space.
Right. I mean, they built that from the ground up. So
we really did. And we had such a positive response. And we're still so thankful to have that, that we had to move the bakery off-site. So, like I said, it's a secret location
on
18th and U.
Which is going to follow you when the show's over. That'll be us.
So what do? You just Uber back and forth to pick up bread all day?
We actually do. Myself and the rest of the management team take 2 to 4 deliveries a day.
Mm-hmm.
We drive over in our cars, and we're baking throughout. Larry's there at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're staffed almost 24 hours a day at this point with people baking the breads.
How many tables? I mean, how many seats are in the restaurant?
Right now we're at about 200, and we'll go up to about 240 when we open the restaurant.
How often does it turn?
Frequently.
Yeah.
a
lot of bread.
Now, originally when you guys opened, you were going to do breakfast and lunch.
Correct.
And you were going to sell your breads. So
correct.
Is that still on the docket? I mean,
absolutely.
Where are we with that?
Well, absolutely.
Because I'm ready for you guys to open up for lunch.
We're all excited about the prospect of opening for lunch, and we're going to do it as soon as the time is right.
Okay, that is such a lame answer.
It is, but it's the one I'm giving.
All right.
I'm glad to hear it because most of my money is going to dinner.
Oh, please, give me a break. Like it's your money. Anyway, are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out how you can get into Le Diplomat. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
At UPS, we take 2 things very seriously, your budget and our planet. It's why we've built one of the largest alternative fuel fleets in the industry. It's why we offer eco-responsible services like carbon-neutral shipping and carbon impact analysis. It's also why businesses trust UPS to provide customized solutions that cut costs and boost productivity. UPS is committed to helping you operate more efficiently and sustainably. Learn more at ups.com/gov.
Are you in the Metro DC area looking for something free to do with a family? Visit usarmyband.com to see what the United States Army Band has on tap. With weekly concerts, chamber music recitals, and educational workshops that are sure to entertain and inspire any music lover. And all performances are free. Get out, enjoy the music, and rest assured you'll leave feeling good about the flag. Visit usarmyband.com. That's usarmyband.com. You can also follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/USArmyBand.
The West Point Society of Washington, D.C., supported by alumni, sponsors, and individuals, is preparing their 7th Annual Leadership and Ethics Conference for D.C. Metro Area 11th graders, March 20th at the George Mason University Arlington campus. Students will learn about this year's theme of living honorably and the consequences of their actions from members of America's current greatest generation, including ROTC and West Point cadets, as well as recent graduates serving the nation. For more information, search West Point Ethics and Leadership on Facebook.
What do you want to be when you're older?
When I'm older, I want to be a singer. That's my goal.
An organizer of like do-gooders.
I want to be a media mogul.
When I'm older, I want to be anything but the one that doesn't fit in, the one that people don't love.
Everyone deserves a dream.
But some of us are depressed,
anxious,
angry,
scared,
don't feel like ourselves.
If that's you, say something.
Talk to someone. People will listen. Add your voice at oktotalk.org. Oktotalk.org.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking to the guys from Le Diplomat, Larry Kilborn, who's the head baker, and Will Washington, who's the GM. And Larry, this is all well and good, but what are you going to do for people who want to try and make this bread at home? Are you going to give them some tips?
I can give some tips. I can tell you, it's very hard to replicate the type of breads that we make because we have a steam-injected deck oven, stone deck oven.
Oh, we have one of those.
And it's difficult to do
everybody.
That. But there are some things that people could do at home. First off of that is get good ingredients. Mm-hmm. The major contributor to flavor in bread is the flour. So do not go and buy cheap flour, bromated flour, bleached flour. Don't do it.
Okay.
Invest in something good like King Arthur.
King Arthur's.
You can get at any grocery.
Second, what about a starter, though? Can I ask? Because like you said, you had your starter.
Anybody can make a sourdough starter, which is how, for millennia, we baked bread before commercial baker's yeast became available. It's just a mixture of equal parts of flour and water. And if you let it sit for a few days, you're going to notice it starts to ferment because wild yeast that are present in the air and a type of bacteria that plays well with the wild yeast end up inhabiting that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to do... It takes about a week or two until you have a starter that you can actually bake with. And then if you just throw a little bit away each day and refresh it with more flour and water, you can keep a sourdough starter indefinitely.
That's amazing.
Forever. My first sourdough starter was a gift from a woman who got it from her grandmother who said it was 100 years old. And I don't doubt that it could well have been.
That's amazing. Very cool. What?
I'm just thinking about her grandmother keeping that around for 100 years.
It may have gone through a couple generations.
The first 90 years were, what the heck? Oh, now I remember. All right, well, let's do the who, what, where on Le Diplomat online and on the street so people can find you.
Sure. We're located at the corner of 14th and Q, 1601 14th Street Northwest, 2009.
In the hot 14th Street.
Right in the heart.
Foodville.
14th
right.
Street. Reservations, you can make them online at opentable.com. Go to Le Diplomat.
Okay.
It's also linked up through any of the other websites at lediplomat.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call us just 202-332-3333.
Or email Nikki. She's got his cell number.
Yeah. I do.
All right.
We take reservations 30 days to the day in advance.
Okay, good.
Thanks.
Great, guys. Thank you for bringing in all this delicious bread. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Let's go to the man who's making us all inebriated this morning. Will Rentschler of the Rye Bar at Capella Hotel.
You need to move over in front of the mic.
Yes.
Larry?
Here we go.
This is live radio, man.
There we go. Okay, so.
Had my ears pulled off.
So we just finished this rye. It was, I couldn't drink it all, but it is delicious. But most people drink it either straight are on the rocks. Yes. What do you have next for us to try?
Next is it's Whistle Pig 12-year, the Boss Hog. So this is the rye that they age the longest. They do a 10-year, an 11-year, and a 12.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very limited production. They only made 34 barrels. This is barrel number 16. So it's actually, it's 12 and three-quarter years, but who's counting?
Okay.
So this is 134 proof, so barrel strength. This hasn't been watered down at all.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a little more stout, but very, very deep, and rich, complex flavors.
If somebody orders this at the Rye Bar, what does this go for?
This is $50 okay. for a 1.5-ounce pour.
Okay, wow. That's it. And what about the original one we have?
Willet is, I believe, 30. Yeah, okay. 30 years for a glass.
Because
it's, I mean, this is 12 years, Willet's 4 years, so... Mm-hmm. Just like anything else,
it's an
aged.
Investment.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
What do they have from 1949? Question: if I come into the rye bar, and I don't know diddly squat about ryes, I mean, are your guys able to? Will they have the time, and are they able to spend the time really walking somebody through it and doing a little rye primer?
Absolutely, Angel, Andrew, they love doing that stuff. We have people come in pretty frequently and ask. You know, I'm not really a fan of rye. This
no.
is Tomas.
This That's is Tomas. Tomas.
This is my lovely assistant.
I think he lied to me and told me he was Andrew.
You know, they taste everything when we bring it in, so they've got a really good knowledge of the different ryes. Because we do have people that come in, they're just looking for a good cocktail, and
mm-hmm.
they've never tasted a straight rye, and they want to know the difference between one or the other. So they're good at walking people through that exercise.
All right, we're ready to taste our next one.
While we're sipping that, let's talk to Ipa von Hengst, who's mm-hmm. the executive chef and co-founder of Silver Diner, and way back when the first Silver Diner was opened.
I don't remember you, by the way.
You do not. That's a bunch of bull hockey.
I don't remember
but
you.
But that's fine.
You haven't changed a bit. You still look young.
Yeah.
I'm sort of attracted to you, too. So look, back then, Silver Diner was a new concept, modern concept diner, and Bob Gimo had done a ton of research. I don't remember the name of the guy he had who had written that book on diners, but about the diner as a quintessential American mm-hmm. dining out experience, convenience dining, quick dining, fairly priced dining, and good, you know, comforting food. And that's kind of how the Silver Diner opened. There were a lot of burgers. There was a lot of, you know, diner food that was very good.
And we still have that.
You still have that. But you had an epiphany at some point about food and health and all that. What happened there?
Well, it was about 5-6 years ago. We knew we had to change. We knew that, you know, all you have to do is look around you. You see how people like to eat. And you have to, we've been around for 25 years this year. So in order to be around for 25 years, you have to reinvent yourself constantly. And 5-6 years ago, we made a big splash. We went fresh and local. We went vegan. We went vegetarian. And that has resulted in 30% more sales over the last 3 years. That's just phenomenal.
Well, was it,
people love
it. But were people asking for it? Or was it a personal choice? Like, especially going, like, sourcing, changing your sourcing. Yeah, I mean, were people asking for that? Or were you just finding that the market now made it available for
at
you?
At the same time. At the same time, you know, I wanted to, you know, I wanted to look like David when I'm his age, you know.
No one looks like David at his age.
No, I know.
Thank you.
No, but, you know, so it was a personal choice as well. A couple of years ago, I ran a Marine Corps marathon, you know, so I wanted to stay healthy, mm-hmm. and I want to be an example of that. And at the same time, we started to market as needing, you know, the younger families were asking for it. I'm doing always a lot of reading and on vegan, vegetarian, mm-hmm. what people want. So that's how we concluded this.
Okay, and so how did you start adding these things to the menu? What kind of experimentation process did you use to sort of change up some of your classic offerings to make them gluten-free or vegetarian or meat-free, things of that nature? How did you go about doing that?
Well, first what we did is, you know, we cut the menu by about 30% because, you know, you want to work on quality rather than on quantity.
Right.
And once we had that established, I did a lot of tasting.
You have
a
big menu. I mean, that is a big menu. Right.
I know. People, you know, they still look at an 85, 90 items on the menu, which is enormous choices.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you have to have when you're a diner.
Right.
People expect that. But my goal is to make everything that's on the menu healthier and better for you. You know, mm-hmm. just like Larry was saying, I'm only using unbleached flours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, over here, I got your quinoa pancakes.
And I want to taste
them. They're awesome. You know, they are. Here's an item if you are gluten-free. You will love those, but
right.
at the same time, you don't have to be, you know, somebody who has celiac disease to eat them. You eat them because they taste great, and then I serve them with agave, mm-hmm. fresh strawberries, making with organic applesauce.
Let's just see if they taste good.
And yeah, I know you're a good judge of that.
But I am a good judge.
No,
I
know, but
you
know,
you step on my foot, and my mouth opens. Right. So yeah, it's good to me.
But then you go to Rockville in the morning and you go to Tyson's in the afternoon. So
they're real good. I like quinoa.
Well, but he's using quinoa flour.
I'm using quinoa flour.
I'm just sort of curious. How did you come to quinoa flour for pancakes?
I dream about food. You know, okay. I wake up and I dream about food. So I do a lot of research all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in order to make, you know, a great quinoa pancake, you cannot just do the quinoa and mix it in with the flour.
Sure.
You know, you need to have a quinoa, you need to have a quinoa flour. So that's how I start with all my foods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that salad you see over there with the roasted veggies, you know, mm-hmm. has the Brussels sprouts, you know, a little bit of apricots on it to give a little bit of a tart flavor, and a champagne dressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the food that you see over here. I was just talking to the general manager from The Diplomat. You know, he said he'd be proud to serve it in his place because it's those kind of dishes. But classic food as well.
I think I sense poaching happening.
Well, you know, maybe we'll do something together.
Will is standing behind you with one of those safari hats and a net. So
now,
I think
given that Silver Diner is really a family restaurant, how are kids responding to the new menus, and how are you incorporating kids into it?
Well, you know, 2013 was a great year for us because we got the Healthful Innovative Award for Best Kids Menu in the United States.
Wow.
And,
exciting.
You know, we have about 20 items on the menu that are under 600 calories.
Mm-hmm.
They are combined with a dessert or a drink.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a complete meal. And they're all healthier and better ingredients. I have bison burgers that are 30 miles up the street from Baltimore.
Hmm.
You know, you got to go to Baltimore. You have like 500 of these big bisons roaming around. Nobody knows about it. Everyone thinks it comes from Colorado.
I'm getting them. Some are my clients.
Yeah. You know, we're getting those ingredients local. And, you know, bison is a denser meat. It has less fat. So
it's delicious.
It's delicious, you know.
I love bison.
You're eating half the portion.
Are you
going to
eat bison? Because now he's not eating pork.
I'm off pork.
He's off pork.
You're eating half the portion, and you're getting the same amount of calories. You're getting the same amount of calories and amino acids and vitamins in your body. So that's
that sounds very scientific. It's also very. It's delicious.
I look at it from the scientific side, but for me, always the flavor is number one.
Well, Nikki gave you a good segue because we were talking about the kids' menu. You have a contest coming up that's kind of cool. What's going on with that?
We just had a couple of contests for the kids, and you know we keep doing it all the time.
Did I miss it?
Yes,
it's still very cool.
It's still very cool. What we do is we get like 15, 20 kids between the ages of 8 and 12, and they come in and they tell us what they really like to eat, and you know I'm and they're the most honest people. They're even more honest than you.
Mm-hmm. I'm only 13, so if you invite
You are invited the next time.
Okay.
And you come over and you can expect
it.
So
what are you looking for? Are you just looking for their feedback?
I'm looking for their feedback, their opinion, if they like it or not. And believe me, little kids give you their opinion. They give you their opinion.
Well, they're picky.
Yeah, they're picky, and that's great. And that's how I come up with these items. And, you know, and I have those quinoa pancakes on the kids' menu, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on NBC4 with Barbara Harrison, and, you know, we showed the meatballs that we picked for them. One kid won a prize out of that.
Do kids bring up
Go ahead.
Obesity as a concern?
I'm asking the kids.
No, kids don't. You know, they eat anything that you put in front of them. So if I give them chicken tenders all day, they will eat chicken tenders all day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I put healthier food in front of them, they will eat healthier food. So we have to be the smart ones and give them the choices.
Well, so now you also have a new concept.
Silver.
Tell us a little bit about this.
You know, well, Silver is an extension of the Silver Diner. You know,
mm-hmm.
we people know us so well in this area, so we want to do an extension of it. It's not going to be a totally new brand, but it's an extension of the brand that we have.
Okay.
And it's going to have a bar element. It's going to have the coolest dishes and the best dishes that we have at the Silver Diner.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have more wood. It's going to have, less stainless steel. But you're going to walk in, and they're going to be able to say, oh, those are those guys from the Silver Diner.
So I can feel it.
But it's
restaurant.
More of a restaurant.
It's more of a grown-up restaurant, you know, but still family-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the bar element to it, which is going to be new to us. We do that at BWI. That's the mm-hmm. only location that we have as a bar. So that's going to be a new element. It's going to be a cool place, you know, that people want to gather and young families. Still very family-friendly, but the best of all the dishes that we're serving
out. When does that happen?
That's going to open up next year in the spring. We're going to start construction
in Bethesda.
In Bethesda.
Where in Bethesda?
It's I think it's 301 the lot on Woodmont Avenue.
Okay.
Oh, you're hitting.
Yeah,
boy.
I know.
Nice,
you know,
figure.
Close to the Muscle Bar over there,
right?
And Mon Amiga B. It's going to be a fantastic location.
That's amazing. Okay, and now tell us just quickly as we wrap up, where are all your other Silver Dino locations?
Well, we have four locations in Maryland, and we have 7-8 of them around the Beltway in Virginia and Arlington. Reston, Merrifield, you know, so we're everywhere. We are the community place to go.
And just so people know, not only can you get all these fantastic healthy dishes, but you do serve classic food as well, right?
Oh my God, you know, that's probably still the majority of the menu that we have. You know, we serve a boatload of ham and eggs. We serve a boatload of meatloaf.
Okay.
But the meatloaf is Creekstone beef. You know, it's, again, a healthier and better product. So try to make everything better for you.
Excellent. All right, tell everybody where they can find you online, please.
www.silverdiner.com.
Clever.
Excellent. All right.
Clever.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank you so much, and thank you for bringing in all this terrific stuff.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wait, Eben wants to do a shout out to the Dutch speed skating team.
Yes, I know. I think we are ahead of the all the nations.
I didn't ask for a commercial, just a shout out. All right.
This is David Nikki Nellis with Fooding the Beast. We'll be right back.
Okay. At UPS, we take two things very seriously: your budget and our planet. It's why we've built one of the largest alternative fuel fleets in the industry. Why we offer eco-responsible services like carbon-neutral shipping and carbon impact analysis. It's also why businesses trust UPS to provide customized solutions that cut costs and boost productivity. UPS is committed to helping you operate more efficiently and sustainably. Learn more at ups.com/gov.
Volunteers are the backbone of many nonprofits, and Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington is no exception. I'm Renthia Ross, a volunteer and board member of the Fairfax County Boys and Girls Clubs. For the care and support of Boys and Girls Clubs in Savannah, where I grew up, I realized my dreams to go to college, law school, and become a lawyer. I'm a corporate executive with GEICO Insurance Company. My success was made possible with the support of my family and caring adults from the Boys and Girls Clubs. I urge you to give to the Boys and Girls Clubs so kids can grow up great. Go to bgcgw.org to donate now.
William is all too familiar with the dangers of being homeless in D.C. during the winter.
You'd be out there in the cold, you know, snowing, it would rain. You got to cover up, you'll freeze to death.
The threat of hypothermia and death is real for D.C.'s homeless. Your gift of just $10 right now will provide a winter rescue kit at Central Union Mission. That's warm clothes, blankets, and a hot meal. Give today at missiondc.org. That's missiondc.org.
Imagine someday is today on Saturday, March 22nd, 2014, at the annual Leukemia Ball presented by Pharma, featuring a fabulous silent auction and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles. The Leukemia Ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. With music by Huey Lewis and the News and a comedic performance by Ryan Hamilton, guests will enjoy a night to remember. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit leukemiaball.org.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're going to go back and talk to Will Rensler of Capella Hotel and the Rye Bar and the Grill. And what is this? This is like, I could put this in my gas tank.
That's the Whistle Pig 12-year.
No wonder they whistle. Is it because when you drink it, you go like that?
That's what I did. I was like,
it's a great rye. Probably one of my favorites we have behind the bar. It's relatively new. They just released it in November. So
it's new, but it's old. It's new, but it's old.
It's new old.
It's new old.
What do they do? I mean, this is potent stuff.
Yes.
Come on, swallow. Well, come on, good Lord.
Great cheese and bread from Le Diplomat.
Yes. Oh, and we need to correct their website. It's lediplomatdc.com. They forgot the DC. It's okay.
Sure, they'll never find it.
Okay,
otherwise.
So let's talk about, now, aside from just pouring rye, you guys actually have a fantastic cocktail program. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, our signature cocktail, still the best selling, is our Barrel Age Manhattan, but today we brought in
Isn't that the really expensive Manhattan?
$22, but we were talking about age earlier, and it's an investment as well. We put it in the barrel for 6 weeks, so it comes out much, much smoother. It's fantastic.
So how do you make it? What goes in it? Tell us.
The barrel-aged cocktail is Dad's Hat Rye from Pennsylvania, Burr Quinquina, which is an aperitif made from Syrah grapes, and then a little bit of Dolan Sweet Vermouth.
Okay.
So
you put it in a barrel?
We mix it up. We put it back in the barrel that the rye was distilled in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not it's not a new oak barrel. It's a used oak barrel.
Okay.
We put it back in there for at least 6 weeks. And then we garnish that with a little bit of house-made orange bitters and a slice of orange zest instead of the traditional cherry. So,
oh, fantastic. Excellent. So that's on tap, right?
Yes. Yeah. We
do you have a lot of on tap cocktails, or is that the only one?
That's the only one. Let me correct myself. We did another one called the Crescent City Cocktail. We did that one around the holidays, and that was very popular as well. But the Barrel Aged Manhattan is still the number one selling cocktail.
Okay. What is this?
This is a Vermont shrub.
This is delicious.
So we use Whistle Pig tenure in this one.
Find me a shrub.
Okay, don't do that again.
You don't even know what that's from?
Yes,
you whippersnapper. You do know? Absolutely. Good. All right, I feel better.
Whistle Pig tenure, Hum, it's a botanical spirit, Saint Germain, an elderflower liqueur. Mm-hmm. And then we finish it off with a little bit of apple shrub, which is it is bitter. It's a little bit bitter, but it's not a bitter.
That's
There's
a
no
good
alcohol
drink.
In it.
That's a really good drink.
Yeah, this is a little more crowd-friendly than the straight 12-year rye.
The other one, knock you off your bar stool.
Right. It's 134 proof. It's straight out of the barrel.
Right.
Great. I got stuff to do later today. All right. Well, while we're fermenting here, let's talk to our buddy Jim Foss from Hill Country Barbecue. I keep wanting to say Hill Street Blues. I don't know why.
I don't know why
but,
either.
We had you on the show right when Hill Country opened.
Yes.
And you came in with ribs and wet brisket and all kinds of stuff, and it was fabulous. And you guys were just, that's when Penn Quarter was kind of still kicking in.
Right, right.
And now you're an institution down there, and Texas Independence Day is coming.
That's right.
I knew Sam Houston, by the way. We went to school together.
Well, as you know, at Hill Country, we love everything Texas. So Texas Independence Day is coming up on March 2nd. Basically, it's when Texas declared its independence from Mexico. You've heard of
Remember the
Alamo,
Mexico, right?
Right.
Yeah.
This holiday commemorates the battle against Santa Ana. For us, it's a great excuse just to have a party.
The Saddle of San Jacinto.
Yeah.
David knows all the history.
I do.
He wants to show off.
I'm not showing off. I'm just saying that's what it was.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
So why do this, and what are you guys going to do to celebrate?
Well, I mean, we're going to have some great specials. We're going to do $4 Shiner cans all day, bar menu available all day on that Sunday for a special free live music show. We have Danny Lee. She's an American honky-tonk style country singer, so it should be a lively show.
Oh, fun. So that's just happening all day. Do people buy tickets? Do they just come in? How does it work?
Just come in.
Okay.
Just come in. We got $4 Shiner beers, free music.
Well, give
all right,
great party atmosphere.
What kind of beer? Talk about the beer a little bit.
Well, Shiner is from Shiner, Texas.
Right.
So the only beer that we sell on tap is Shiner beer.
Okay.
So we have a variety of flavors of Shiner. We have the Shiner Bock, which is really the most popular.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Shiner Wild Hair, the Shiner Hefeweizen, the Shiner Holiday Cheer, which we just finished up.
So getting a Shiner is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, not at all.
Okay. Not in Hill Country.
Thank you.
Not at all.
I think we should talk about it for folks that haven't been there.
Yes.
Because it's not just your basic barbecue place. You've got a live stage downstairs. There's live music. There's karaoke still every Wednesday nights.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Oh, I know that.
Because we were there once.
That's right.
It was fun. But it's serious.
Your karaoke is
very serious.
Yeah.
It's very serious.
Those people are coming in.
I was just talking to Dusty out in the hallway about how, I don't want to say crazy, but I'll say crazy,
they're
our
crazy
karaoke people get,
and
how possessive they get. They'll start lining up two and a half hours.
But those people can really sing. Like, you can't go up there if you can't sing.
You got some good ones.
Now
you're turning off everybody out there who thought, well, I maybe go by there and try that.
No, but it's cool to hear the people sing. I mean, there were people there the time we were there who, like, they were American Idol worthy. I mean, they were terrific.
And they're all talking like this.
Yes.
No, they were not.
And usually towards the end of the night, everybody thinks they can sing better anyway.
Well, that's true. That's what happens at karaoke.
Well, that's what Shiner does to you. It doesn't improve your voice. It just melts your brain.
Right, exactly.
And speaking of karaoke, on Wednesday, February 26th, we're doing a special karaoke fundraiser for the Fisher House.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to
Let's talk about Fisher House, because that's a great place. That's where they offer free housing to families of vets who are in with getting treatment at Walter Reed and Bethesda Naval, I guess, now is where it is.
Right.
But they do great things, and it's a great charity. So,
right.
So how is that working? Are you selling tickets to that, or what you purchase goes towards it?
Well,
how does it work?
There's no cover, but a $20 donation will get you a special wristband to get you happy hour special pricing
okay.
for the whole night. And also just knowing that you've donated $20 that goes straight
right,
to the Fisher House
right.
for that. We're also going to be doing $2 Jello shots that night at the Boot Bar downstairs.
Is that something you normally do?
We do it on special events.
Okay.
We like to do little red, white, and blue
Jello
shots.
You know,
so I feel
shots.
Like we're drinking this really fine rye, and
then
we're going to talk about Jello shots.
I think there's always room for Jello.
Okay.
Well, I'm going back to Hill Country. I'm going to try some rye Jello shots.
Okay. All right. There you go.
I think we should do
something. You can charge
here.
A lot of money for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because people out there that don't know Hill Country, talk about...
The food.
The food, because the food is really... Now, I've sworn off pork, but that's showbiz. The wet brisket there
He just
is really,
swore off pork. It's
3 weeks
like,
ago.
3 weeks ago.
I'm a new convert. Follow me, brothers and
he
sisters.
He is a bad convert. he's a preachy convert.
I am preachy. What, talk about like where the bar, you know, where that beef comes from and how it's prepared, because
well,
it's so good.
Again, we love everything Texas, and we do truly Texas-style barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
We go so far as to bringing our post oak in from Texas. So it's shipped into us to really have the authentic flavor. You know, it's very, I want to say a tedious process, but you have to have discipline when you barbecue. Our rub is very simple. It's salt, pepper, and a whisper of cayenne, just enough to kind of turn it pink.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, nurturing the barbecue, keeping it at the right temperature, cooking it, you know, low and slow. Obviously, our brisket pays the bills there. We're known for our beef
I'd
brisket.
I'd really like to see when it signs the checks. How does that happen?
It's interesting. Trust me.
So it's ribs, it's brisket, it's chicken too, right?
Yeah. You know, our the big things on our menu is the brisket, lean or moist. You know, and the moist is a deckle part, the upper part on there. You know, the lean we refer to as the flat. We do pork spare ribs, which aren't your St. Louis, you know, size ones. They're the mammoth style rib. We do our chicken, free range chicken, and beef short ribs, sausages, all in the marketplace.
Animals running high.
Absolutely.
And then, so on Sunday, February 23rd, you're doing barbecue bingo.
Yeah, so once a month we do barbecue bingo down in the Boot Bar. Well, one of our pit masters, Brendan Woody, he's the kind of the MC of the event, you know, and it's from 1 to 3 p.m. All ages are welcome to come and play. There's a $10 minimum food and drink purchase, and it gets you 10 playing cards.
Okay.
And, you know, we offer a bunch of different prizes from... You know, upcoming ticketed concerts to dinner for two, hats, shirts.
No trips to Europe?
No trips to Europe.
Texas?
Well,
come on, man.
We do a Texas trip coming up, too, once a year.
Okay. And so now let's just wrap you up nice and neat. Let's talk about, you know, this big celebration on March 2nd. Just give people the 411 one more time, please.
Okay. Sunday, March 2nd, it's Texas Independence Day.
Right.
$4 Shiner cans all day.
Right.
Happy hour bar menu all day.
What does a happy hour bar menu mean for those who
don't
know?
Well, the happy hour bar menu, it's you can order things kind of a la carte. And we do some Texas favorites like brisket tacos, Texas-style Frito pie, nachos, some of our famous guacamole. And again, you know, that free concert, Danny Lay.
And what time does that start at?
The concert starts at 8:30.
All right, great. All right, Jim, tell everybody where they can find you guys and how they can find out more information about this event.
Okay, well, we're located at 410 7th Street. Northwest, right in Penn Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Our website is hillcountrywdc.com.
Fantastic. Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us back, guys.
It's totally worth the trip.
Yeah, it's totally. If you can't make it to Texas Day, you should definitely go any other
day.
We're
the next best thing.
Right, exactly. All right, let's bring in the crew from St. Jude's.
All right, now we're going to talk St. Jude's. And if we didn't have licensing issues, we could be playing Hey Jude right now.
Okay, but we can't.
Eunice Mazloum and Chef Mazir Farivar are in to talk about the 16th annual St. Jude's Gourmet Gala. And I'm happy to tell you that it's sold out for a wonderful cause. But I'm sad to tell you, you can't go. You can just hear about it.
Right.
Because it's sold out. So why don't we start? Tell us a little about St. Jude's and Danny Thomas and how all this thing got started.
This is the 16th year of the Gourmet Gala, and the hospital celebrated its 50-year anniversary last year, which was a tremendous milestone. And when the hospital opened its doors in 1962, the most common form of childhood cancer, acute lymphoblastic leukemia, was nearly fatal. And we're proud to say that it's nearly curable now with a 94% cure rate. St. Jude, since it's opened its doors, has taken the overall cure rate for childhood cancer from 20% to 80%. So some amazing milestones. And all of this is done with private donations and events like this, because the hospital never gives a bill to any patient or patient family who is treated at the hospital. So we really rely on these wonderful fundraising events like the St. Jude Gourmet Gala that started grassroots here, as you remember.
Right, it started.
And, you know, yes, we're proud to say in its 16th year, 2 weeks before the event, we're sold out and we're all excited. We have amazing chefs like our dear Chef Maziar, who's our chef chair for the event this year, supporting the event with their time and talent and their resources to make it the success it is.
Well, so, Chef, tell us how you...
Wait,
do we take a break?
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, Chef, when we come back, we're going to get your 411, and we'll hear all about how you're chairing this event and what you're doing. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Are you in the Metro D.C. area looking for something free to do with a family? Visit usarmyband.com to see what the United States Army Band has on tap, with weekly concerts, chamber music recitals, and educational workshops that are sure to entertain and inspire any music lover. And all performances are free. Get out, enjoy the music, and rest assured you'll leave feeling good about the flag. Visit usarmyband.com. That's usarmyband.com. You can also follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/USArmyBand.
The West Point Society of Washington, D.C., supported by alumni, sponsors, and individuals, is preparing their 7th Annual Leadership and Ethics Conference for D.C. Metro Area 11th graders, March 20th at the George Mason University Arlington campus. Students will learn about this year's theme of living honorably and the consequences of their actions from members of America's current greatest generation, including ROTC and West Point cadets, as well as recent graduates serving the nation. For more information, search West Point Ethics and Leadership on Facebook.
At UPS, we take two things very seriously: your budget and our planet. It's why we've built one of the largest alternative fuel fleets in the industry. It's why we offer eco-responsible services like carbon-neutral shipping and carbon impact analysis. It's also why businesses trust UPS to provide customized solutions that cut costs and boost productivity. UPS is committed to helping you operate more efficiently and sustainably. Learn more at ups.com/gov.
What do you want to be when you're older?
When I'm older, I want to be a singer. That's my goal.
An organizer of like do-gooders.
I want to be a media mogul.
When I'm older, I want to be anything but the one that doesn't fit in, the one that people don't love.
Everyone deserves a dream.
But some of us are depressed,
anxious,
angry,
scared,
don't feel like ourselves.
If that's you, say something.
Talk to someone. People will listen. Add your voice at OKTOTALK.org. OKTOTALK.org.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking to Eunice Mazloum and Chef Maziar Farivar about the 16th annual St. Jude's Gourmet Gala. And Chef, when we broke, we were really just getting into talking about your role as the chief wrangler of other chefs for this thing. And what will you be doing at the event?
Actually,
what do you have them doing?
I have very little work to do as a wrangler, but the whole process started for us 16 years ago during as they were wonderful volunteers like Eunice, who were organizing the first Gourmet Gala. They came to us and asked us to participate, and I must admit, at the time, I knew next to nothing about St. Jude Children's Hospital. But as we attended, I really didn't at the time.
Kinda
but
watch the TV ads.
We went ahead. Well, back then there weren't any. I don't think, at least.
Yeah.
Really, it was a much smaller hospital, much less awareness about the hospital. And I'm proud to say that as I have seen the hospital grow, I really feel better and better about our participation at the Gourmet Gala, which helps raise funds. And give a big shout out to 40 plus restaurants, chefs, and mixologists who attend, who make the gala a possibility. And as you know, DC has become more and more of a foodie town. We've become quite a beast of a foodie town, if you would.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
They'll be back next week.
I'm glad I got a chance to use that.
We'll be back next week and every week. You know, I just want to say sucking up is allowed. So.
No, you guys are so much fun. I like to come hang out with you every Sunday. This has been a great morning.
Well, so, Chef, as DC is exploding as a restaurant scene, and given that you have, like, sort of these restaurants who have been participating for so long, how do you integrate the new restaurants? How do you, because there are so many events, you know, you guys were one of the big ones who started this kind of affair.
Right.
So how do you initiate the new group?
Well, let me ask you a question this way. You know, in this town, we have a lot of fundraising events. There's not a week goes by that there's not some event going on somewhere.
And that's, restaurants, that's chef involved.
Exactly. That's exactly that restaurant food involved some, mm-hmm. in some way. And we get asked all the time, and this is one of the only events that I know of that has actually a waiting list for restaurants to want to participate. And that really comes as, again, big hats off to the organizers who really put in a ton of effort. And speaking from my perspective as an operator that mm-hmm. we attend these events, we appreciate it so much when they're ready for us to go and for us to really display our food and serve.
So it's well organized.
It's amazingly well organized. And again, thanks to all the volunteers who work so hard to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And
will Peacock Cafe be doing?
Well, every year we seem to have a theme, and the theme is Mardi Gras. So I try to do something related to the event. So this year I'm doing a faux shrimp and grits, a healthier version of a traditional shrimp and grits. So instead of grits, I'm using...
faux shrimp and faux grits.
The shrimp is real. Well, we do a Cajun spiced shrimp, and instead of grits, I'm using a cauliflower puree with coconut milk, basically.
That answers the question, what are those grits? Faux.
Yeah. Thank you. So that was it.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. And again, I'm happy to say that really the who's who of the restaurant industry is there, mm-hmm. and people who attend are treated to some fantastic meals from some of the best well-known chefs and mixologists in town. I'm happy to be a part of it. And after 16 years, I'm proud to be the chef chair this year to be able to contribute some more.
Okay, now the ante is up for the chefs because people get to vote on their dishes. And what does the chef win this year?
Well, the Taster's Choice Award is it's a watch, a mm-hmm. $3,000 value watch.
Vic Albisu won it 1 year, right?
Yes, Victor actually won it two years.
2 years in a row.
And you know, now he walks around going, "Who needs to know what time? anybody need the time?"
It's really become very fun and competitive with the chefs, and they plan
this out.
That's
shocking. I can't believe they would be competitive at all. It doesn't sound like that.
The word is that Scott Druneau is putting holes in Mike Isabella's tires.
So this year it's a watch again.
This
year everybody can vote. It's with your beads, right?
This year we might be changing it up. So you will have an opportunity to make two votes,
mm-hmm.
and so you will have to get around and you know sample those 40 plus dishes.
Okay.
No rigging the votes at all.
No rigging the votes. Absolutely not.
You seem to have a blank.
Can we talk a little bit about some of the auction items?
Oh, wow. Well, we actually were really excited about our auction this year. You know, in addition to the chefs contributing their time and the resources, they actually also do make donations for our auction block. So we have some neat items like L'Académie de Cuisine is doing a private cooking class for 10.
Right. For
Lebanese Taverna is doing a happy hour at one of their locations.
Mm-hmm.
And Peacock Cafe has... integrated their package with a wonderful live auction package that we're doing with the Nutcracker Ballet with a walk-on role. We're really excited about a great auction as well.
Well,
and you can only participate if you're there, right? There's no online auction.
That is correct.
You should do an online auction.
You know, make more money.
Right.
But we also want to give back to our attendees. So it's their way of having exclusivity at the event.
She got out of that one.
Okay, there you go.
All right, so that's the 16th annual St. Jude's Gourmet Gala. You can't go, but you can...
You can jump on the website at www.stjude.org/gourmetgala to learn learn more. You can sign up early for next year.
Or you can I was going to say, stjude.org is more important than people learn about the hospital and the great work you guys do.
Absolutely. And we're always looking for new committee members as well if you want to become a part of a great event for next year.
Well, Nikki's got nothing to do.
Tell people where they can find your restaurant and where they can find you other than at the Gourmet Gala.
Well, Peacock Cafe, we're really very much a local restaurant in Georgetown. We've been around for 22 years. My brother, Shahab, and I are partners in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, peacockcafe.com is our website. Mm-hmm. And you can find us on Prospect Street off of Wisconsin Avenue.
Yep. A Georgetown staple.
It is a Georgetown staple. That's
what
it is.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, so... Will, we're back to you for about 90 seconds.
Tell us quickly what you poured.
So the last cocktail is the Golden Grain. It's a smooth ambler rye, 7-year rye. Just a little bit of a rinse of Pernod absinthe in the glass, and then we
will I see God if I do this? No,
I hope so.